Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today we're going to do something which is a little bit different, something we haven't done before on the podcast. And that is, I have a recording from one of our Nurturing Resilience membership group calls to share with you. So basically what that means is that in our Nurturing Resilience membership, every single month we have two group calls. One group call is dedicated to discussing the nervous system specifically and all things somatic work based on the nervous system course in the membership. And then we have another call which is dedicated towards what I would call the practical or the physiological aspects of recovery. So pacing, sleep, blood sugar, diet, managing inflammation, your immune system. Obviously, there's a big overlap between the two. Sometimes we can't talk about sleep and pacing without talking about the nervous system. And sometimes we can't talk about making practical or physical changes without talking about how we support our nervous systems to facilitate change. So even though there's overlap between the two, we do have dedicated to both. And over the next few episodes, I'm going to be sharing one nervous system call with you and then one practical call with you. Today's call is the nervous system call, which means that we're discussing all the ins and outs of the nervous system. And that means that if you are doing some nervous system work, if you're looking for inspiration, guidance, or if you're just struggling with themes that come up as part of all the multifaceted aspects of recovery, this might be a really great episode to listen to. I'd like to say up front, I really love these calls. I love the people in the membership, how they show up, the questions they ask. It's a very nourishing listen. So if you need a little bit of nourishment for your soul today, I hope you will enjoy this episode. We talk about all sorts of different things. So in today's episode specifically, we talk about building resilience and building capacity. We talk about emotional processing and emotional release. We talk about navigating the ups and downs that come with recovery. And we also talk about the real challenge of trying to find your purpose in life when you feel like your whole life has been put on a pause while you work on your health. So that's just a little bit of a showcase of what you can expect from the call. We also always start the calls with a little bit of somatic settling at the beginning and somatic settling at the end. I've left both of these somatic settling pieces in the recording if you'd like to try them on your own. But if you can't connect with them for whatever reason today while you're listening, then just please jump ahead and enjoy listening to the dialogue. So please enjoy. Welcome everybody to our nervous system call. It's lovely to see some of your faces. And if you're watching the recording, it's lovely to have you with us. So what we'll do is what we always do, which is a little bit of settling before we start the call. And if you're listening to the recording, don't skip the practical. The practical is really important. So let's take a moment. I thought we'd do a little bit of resourcing today. Often we do a lot of external resourcing, but we might just go a little bit more into resourcing and coherence building today. So just make yourselves comfortable and we'll start with a little bit of orienting. So just letting yourself arrive on the call, looking around your space. Just taking everything in. And it might be nice just to find somewhere for your eyes to rest. I also suggest maybe, if you can, maybe something that's not too close to you. So sometimes it's nice to look outside a window or something a little bit further away. Obviously, you don't have to, but it's just that kind of long range of vision we don't often get. And if it's helpful, you can also just become aware of maybe your pelvis if you're seated or the weight of your pelvis, sort of if you're lying down. Maybe become aware of any support behind your spine. behind your head and neck if that's something that you do have right now. And this can be a little bit of a tricky one, but maybe just thinking of a time in the past week or a few weeks where you felt a little bit more like yourself. So it can be just a really small moment of joy, or it could be even a bigger moment, but just something that's happened recently where you've really just felt more like you. And that doesn't have to mean you're completely symptom-free and you are 100% well. It's just you felt more like you. And as you connect with the sense of self, maybe notice how you know. What does it feel like to be you? And here, depending on where you are in your journey, there might be all these other voices that come in and all these other things that start swirling around. So just to say, even if that sense of self is as small as a grain of sand, notice it. And as you notice, what else happens? Maybe there's a breath that comes into the body. Maybe you notice just a little bit more softness. Maybe there's a little bit more heaviness in the pelvis or something else. These are just suggestions to guide you if you're not familiar with tracking. And if you can, maybe we can just bathe in what I'm hoping is a little bit more increased coherence. So just taking a little bit of time to stay oriented to what feels a little bit better than before. And here, you know, from those of you that I can see with my eyes, I just want you to stay here forever because it looks good. But we do have a call to go through. So you can, when you feel ready to, just very softly begin to orient back to the room around you and then maybe to the screen. And obviously, if you really want to stay where you are, stay. Just, I always like to just look at the faces on the screen and check out who you're here with today. There's normally at least one friendly face, often many more than one. And if this is your first time joining us, we'll go into questions now. Mara, I've got your question. You're always so great at just sending them to me ahead of time. Mara, maybe we'll start with you if you'd like to go first. And then otherwise you can raise your hand, unmute, put your question in the chat. Sorry to throw you in the deep end, Mara. Are you happy to go first?
Hi, everybody. So I have two questions, and one is about, these suppressed emotions that Anna, you have been mentioning before, and that they need to be somehow finalized. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology.
Yeah.
And what I experience when I do yin yoga, and I'm wondering if that is that thing. So during the yin yoga practice, there would be one pose where I would suddenly break in tears, and then I don't know where it comes. And then I say to myself words like, you are not alone, or I love you or whatever comes, or I hug myself, and then somehow I feel lighter. But also I have noticed if I do this practice every day, several days in a row, I feel quite tired after that.
Mm. Yeah.
So, is that what you're talking about?
Short answer, yes. Long answer is, you talked about this idea of like finalizing emotions. And I guess, you know, when we're doing this work on working somatically with trauma or stress in the body, is we're looking for a sense of completion. So in some cases, we are looking for some sort of defensive response that is able to complete itself, that wasn't able to complete at the time. And then as a consequence of that, what we often experience is discharge. And discharge can come in many different ways. So I saw some of you discharging when we were doing our settling exercise. It can be yawning. It can be a bigger breath. It can be burping. It can be gurgling in the belly. Sometimes it just feels like energy moving, fizzing, heat, temperature change. There's lots of different ways in which we discharge. And, you know, we often, you may see online this idea of like, we need to release emotions. And emotional release can be a sign of discharge, but it's not like forced. So we're not like trying to force the emotion out of the body. It's something that actually organically happens as a consequence of something in the system completing. And I think that's what the yin yoga is facilitating for you. So when you practice the yin yoga, it's helping your system to settle perhaps out of a more activated state. And with that settling, you're getting some discharge, which is happening. I know when you wrote the question out previously, you said that like some of the language, some of the things you're saying, it just feels like it's just natural and it's just coming, or, you know, intuitively, you know, some of the words that you're using, which is really beautiful. And because as our system changes and moves more towards regulation, remember, we've got these different channels. And one of those channels is the meaning channel, which is where the words, the sort of more cognitive words would be coming from. You know, those words are very like kind and nourishing and supportive, which are probably a testament to the regulation that you're having in your system. And then it creates a feed forward cycle where there's the supportive language, and then the supportive language facilitates more settling, and so on and so on. It's so beautiful that the yin yoga is like another tool now that you know you have in your toolbox to facilitate this. And that's not to say that everybody who's listening to this would do the yin yoga and have the same effect. So I just wanted to normalize that people respond differently to different tools. But this is clearly something that's working for you. And my motto is, you know, do what works, you know, find what works and do it in the right amount, of course, not obsessively. Just one more thing, just talking to the tiredness that you mentioned. It's sometimes we do feel more fatigued after emotional processing. Sometimes just it's a bit of a rebound effect. So we go into more of a fatigued state because that actually helps us to give us the space to process. You know, if you're feeling more tired, you may naturally slow down. You may naturally do less. You may naturally take care of yourself a little bit better. And then that gives space for the integration and the system to integrate the changes that have happened. So I wouldn't be concerned that you feel more tired. I think it sounds, based on the way that you've described everything, it sounds like a very healthy, normal response for what your body is doing. And sometimes also as we release some of the stored tension in the body and the system comes more into regulation, we start to feel more, we start to attune to the natural tiredness which is there. So if you are working through fatigue, and there's multiple different reasons for that fatigue, sometimes we start to connect more to our symptoms because we can actually feel them more than before. That can often, like on paper, look like regression, but it's actually a natural unfolding of the process of coming into longer term health. So does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And I think there was a part two to that question.
Yeah, also another question. It's my observations in the last 5 months where I have stopped working and I concentrated on my health and removed a lot of stressors in my life. And it's also the time when I purchased the Whoop and a bracelet. And then I just noticed the change in the measurement of my stress. And I just would like to hear how would you explain that? So in the beginning, I had high stress day and night. Doesn't matter what I do if I rest. And then I would have, then the night stress would go like calmer, but during the day, it'll be very high, even if I'm just lying in the sofa. And then I would notice that the stress slowly becomes less, but I would have these sudden spikes of stress. And then I would just learn to notice that, for example, if I'm cooking and suddenly I feel insanely tired out of nowhere, and then I would like, okay, I know why I feel so tired because I had like this crazy spike. And then I would notice some months later, I would notice that I would have kind of stress in between activities, might go lower and then it go back again. But then there are also some days where it's just really high and I have no idea what's happening and I cannot explain it with cycle or some overexertion or something, and it's just there. And so maybe
let's talk about the wins, which is that what you've seen in your data is a system that is becoming more flexible. So as you said, like in the beginning, it was just constant stress. And then you notice at nighttime, your system could come into more rest. So your system kind of went from stuck on permanently to then now being able to move more into a parasympathetic state at nighttime, which is great, which is exactly what we wanted to do. Then what you noticed is that there were periods of the day where you would have low stress and then periods of the day you would have higher stress, which is also very normal. So, and we're not supposed to be in low stress all the time. We need stress. And stress is how we build capacity and challenge ourselves and actually grow capacity over time. But, you know, for a lot of people with chronic illness, what happens is what you noticed initially, which is it's stuck in stress mode. So there's no ability to pendulate into stress, out of stress, into stress, out of stress. So what you're noticing with your Whoop is that you're now able to pendulate better. You know, that's why we have that pendulation exercise in the course so that you can self-facilitate your own pendulations. And then as time goes on, granted, this is being supported by all sorts of other changes you're making in your life, you're pendulating. But maybe these little spikes that you're noticing, they're still sort of a representation of the fact that your system is sensitive to triggers. So there's, and they can sometimes be unpredictable. And then when you are sort of having periods, just random days, maybe when stress is higher, it could just be a reflection of, you know, some ongoing instability in your system. So I wouldn't pathologize it. I wouldn't necessarily go on a witch hunt for the cause. That will be stressful in itself. But I would just acknowledge, okay, this is what's happening today. You know, how do I support my body in the context of how it's responding to life right now? You can just more ask the question, like, how can I support you now? What do you need? Sometimes that also gives clues into the why anyway. And then what you may notice over time is that you know, I still have days, like I use a Garmin and I still have days where my Garmin is like this solid orange block of stress. And some days are just like that, but they might be fewer and further between, you know, less intense, less frequent, last for a shorter duration. Or they may actually, over time, you might actually identify the things that are causing that. You know, sometimes there's things that we didn't really think of before. So what I really want you to take away from the data that you've been gathering is that your system is changing and it's becoming more flexible and more resilient. And that's the most important thing. And we can't always expect to explain everything, but we can always meet our body where it is.
Thank you. That was very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for your wonderful questions. Angela, shall we go to you?
So I had a similar experience, not doing yin yoga, but I was doing a meditation recently that was about connecting with your inner regulated adult, like your own self. Mm. And it touched onto the main trauma that of my life. And I was just sobbing. And I was home alone, so I just let the emotion flow. And I think that was a good thing.
Absolutely.
Letting it out. So then after listening to what Mara said and what you said in response, I was wondering, is that something that I should repeat? Like, should I do that meditation or a similar meditation to try to keep releasing that emotion? Like, do I need to kind of go back to that and like do it over and over until eventually, like, is it eventually not going to make me sob? And then that's I'm just like, where do I go with this? How do I process my emotions in a healthy way?
Yeah. The only person who really knows is you. What I would say is if you found it helpful to do that, you know, if you found the emotional release helpful, then yes, it might be helpful to do that again. And then even if you don't sob every single time, you know, you do it, does that mean it's no longer working? Not necessarily. Because a big part of our healing journey is how we reparent our younger parts. And in order to reparent our younger parts, we have to have a stronger sense of our adult self. And so the reason why the parts work comes towards the end of the training is because before we can reparent our younger parts, we have to have enough capacity, resilience, regulation in our system. Otherwise, we can't reparent from a place of dysregulation. So we need a good amount of regulation and stability before we can really start working with the younger parts. So the more you can emphasize this feeling of being your adult self, and actually that's what the coherence building exercise we did at the beginning of the call helps to facilitate, just like the better resourced your adult self is going to be. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on parts work and inner child work and whatnot. But, you know, for that to be truly successful, we need a really regulated adult, and we have to cultivate that adult. And so this exercise you're doing, it's clearly touched into something that feels important to you. And maybe the invitation here is just to continue to explore it and not feeling like every time needs to be the same. But if it gives you an emotional release and that's helpful, great. If it actually just helps to create a stronger sense of self, great. And if you feel like it's no longer helpful, move on to the next thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good reminder about how much we have to, you know, always be tuning into how things are for us specifically. The other thing that I wanted to ask was sometimes just a big emotion will come upon me a little unexpectedly, or just an example recently was a topic came up at dinner time about a news story of a tragedy that happened locally, and just got big emotion and, you know, didn't want to just let it fly in the middle of dinner. We had my mom over for dinner and my 18-year-old son's girlfriend over. And, but once we finished the main course, I went upstairs and to my bathroom and turned the fan on and cried a little to just let it out. So I was just wondering, sometimes big emotions just kind of come on, and it might not be comfortable to express it in the moment or convenient. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my question is, actually. It's like, is it okay, I guess, to not express it and just... Because I know I had a habit over my life of sucking in big emotions and not expressing them. And so I think that's what I'm worried about is, like, if I keep it in, am I perpetuating something that has potentially contributed to my poor health? So how to deal with emotions that come on when it's not a good time to express them? That's the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, and I think you handled that situation beautifully to just like be with your family and then to like give yourself some space later. And that would be the exact thing to do next time as well. You know, there are going to be certain situations where maybe it isn't appropriate, or maybe it doesn't even feel safe in that moment to be so vulnerable in front of people and express that emotion, or you're in front of someone who maybe can't meet you with that emotion, and that would actually make it worse. So sometimes we do have to maybe pull things in for our own self-protection and then process it later. And I think the awareness of knowing, okay, this is something I need to process later is where the magic is, as opposed to maybe what would have happened in the past with you where you would have just shut it down and then not given it a second thought. So that in itself is a testament to your growth and your healing. There will be moments where you are in a situation or with people where you feel like you could express, and then moments where you can't, and then you can process that on your own. So I wouldn't worry about repeating behaviors of the past, because I think the fact that you're even asking the question is probably a testament to the fact that you are really aware of this. I would consider myself pretty sensitive. I'm sure a lot of people here would also consider themselves pretty sensitive. And the beautiful thing about your sensitivity is that you can actually feel your feelings, as opposed to the other side of the spectrum, which might be some other people here or listening to this recording, where people are undercoupled. So when people are undercoupled, they're not even aware there's a feeling there. And that's so much harder to work with. So if you're judging yourself for being too emotional, just really appreciate the gift, and that is that you get to work with it. And there's an opportunity for potentially faster release. So it's a beautiful part. You know, sensitivity is your gift, and it's a beautiful part of who you are. And it's something to really be held very, very gently and very sacredly.
I did do a little bit of like self-regulating while I stayed at the dinner table. I put my hand here. I find this very soothing. And but then I didn't want anyone to go, "Oh, are you okay?" I didn't want the attention to turn onto me. So I thought,
yeah,
no, this
you're too vulnerable in that moment. Yeah.
So I did more of like, you know, you move your feet and ankles, and I rubbed my legs, and so that helped me get through the rest of the dinner. So yeah, I've learned a lot that did help me in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a really great point as well. That's what the stabilizing tools are for, right? The grounding, the orienting, find a resource in the moment. So all of those things are there to just stabilize the emotion until you can process it later.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. And I have a totally different question that doesn't have to get asked in the session, but if there's a pause and no one else has a question, I have another one for later.
Okay, great. Well, let's see if anyone else has a question. Otherwise, we'll let you go now, or we'll come back to you in a moment. So anybody else have a question? Laura?
Hello. I have a question around like life purpose. And
just a small question.
Just a small
then.
One. So it's something that I find dysregulates me quite a lot and quite severely, like even now just thinking about it, even just thinking about asking this question before when Angela was talking, I was like, I can't even hear anything. I'm so like already.
I was seeing you out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, something's going on with Laura. Yes. So yes, I saw the distress that comes with this question.
Yeah.
And it's okay to slow down and take your time. Yeah, just go slowly. Feel your feet, wiggle your toes, notice the support in your back, and maybe just imagine your body is a little bit bigger so that it can hold everything that's happening inside.
So because I've been unwell for like I'm coming into my seventh year of being unwell and not being able to work and not being able to do much. And then a lot of like our life milestones are being delayed, like
yeah,
having a wedding and starting a family. I struggle a lot with feeling like what is my purpose and like what's the reason I've been put on this planet, if it's just to be sick all the time, like, and like,
yeah,
I just don't, yeah, understand, like, I don't understand how to know what my purpose is in this current situation, but then also what to do to not have it like dysregulate me so much, because I am sick, I have so much time to think. So
it's like it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. And so I feel like because it is making me so dysregulated when I think about it, then it's obviously impeding my recovery type thing.
Yeah.
The question.
Yeah, just a small question. So thank you also, Laura, because I know it takes a lot of vulnerability and with that then courage to speak up and ask these things when you feel everything so intensely. So where should we begin? First of all, there are lots of healthy people who also feel distressed about their purpose in life. So not to minimize, you know, the distress that you feel around this, that's not what it's about. But I think purpose is a tricky one for a lot of people. I know so many friends and, you know, acquaintances who really don't feel like they are doing what they should be doing in their life. And they're in good health, you know. So it is one of those things. But then the other, speaking more to this context specifically, is like this feeling like I'm behind, basically. I'm behind. I'm never going to get there. There's not enough energy. There's not enough health. There's not enough time to do all the things I want to do in this life. Those are the thoughts that are coming from the dysregulation of your system. And then they are sort of, you know, creating this perpetual cycle of feeding more dysregulation, because you have more time, you think these thoughts, that increases the dysregulations, and then you have more time and then you think these thoughts, and then so on and so on. So this is sympathetic activation. Specifically, if it was more of a case of there's no point in trying, it's too late, that's more like a dorsal shutdown sort of dialogue. So we know what we're working with here. We're working with sympathetic activation in your system. When we're working with these tools, we've got the five channels. So we've got the SIBAM, sensation, image, behavior, which is like your movements, gestures, sound, affect, which is your emotion, and then the meaning. So you have this opportunity, if you're just working on breaking the cycle of dysregulation, you think the thoughts, you get more dysregulated, you think the thoughts, you get more dysregulated. We can work through some of those dynamics. As I think these thoughts, what am I noticing in my body? That's always a good question to ask when you come to a predominating like thought pattern that you want to interrupt. Then you can say, okay, well, I'm noticing that there's tension in my chest and there's a feeling of overwhelm, and I'm noticing I want to shrink, and, you know, whatever might be coming up if we're looking at those different things. So this is overly simplistic for probably how big and the question this is, but it's at least a starting point, which is that you can just explore the felt body-based experience of the sympathetic nervous system response, which is driving these thoughts. And then what you may notice is that you'll have a little bit more regulation in your system. And when you have more regulation in your system, the thoughts might change. And then then the thoughts may change to, it will be okay. I will be okay. Everything is happening in its own time. I will find my path. Or there might even be little bits of creativity that come through. Like within my capacity right now, I can find purpose and meaning in my relationship with my partner, being a good friend. Those are just examples, but there might be ways that you can connect with some sort of sense of purpose and meaning. The other thing worth considering here is we have to build our capacity to move towards our purpose. So even a healthy person, circling back to that conversation, the reason why healthy people don't move towards their purpose is because they don't feel safe to do so, because of the freeze or the dysregulation in their own system, even though they have good health. So we don't just suddenly jump into our purpose in life. We use the principle of titration to take small, manageable, tolerable steps in the direction of where we want to go. And so even if you have dreams, hopes, wishes for the future that you can't necessarily fulfill right now because of your health, think about what the little stepping stones could be that would lead you in that direction, in terms of what is within your capacity right now. Because even though you might not necessarily have the full health just yet, you may also have some freeze and blocks just around execution that you could be working with in this moment while you have the time. Yeah, titration, so that you feel like you're on your path, even if you're walking it very slowly.
That makes sense. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to ask about that, or does that feel complete for now?
Yes, no, that feels like I've covered everything I wanted to say, and I've got the answer from you that makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah,
no problem. Who would like to go next? Nadja.
Hi. I actually had really similar things to what's already been discussed, so I'm really grateful for all of your questions. I've had all of these experiences too. So, yeah, I also experienced some very... How do I phrase this? Along this path that I've been ill for coming up to 6 years soon in different degrees, and the last sort of 6-7 months, I've been sort of on a different kind of healing path. I'm starting this program and so forth. And I've been working with my nervous system, right? And at times I experience quite a bit of overwhelm in relation to similar things as Laura, you were very courageous to bring up. Okay, so I have two questions. One, as our capacity increases, because I've had some really dark periods where I felt like, okay, I'm fine. And then it's like, oh, I'm like hit with this wave, and it's like a lot of grief and sadness. And it's just really hard to kind of break out of it. And then I've had the experience that, you know, it kind of evens out a little bit more. And then I've felt generally on a very positive trajectory, actually. I felt so much better emotionally than I've had for a really, really long time. But there's also these other parts. My first question is, is that normal? Is it supposed to be like this? Could it be like a good sign that these are the cycles? I mean, I get that feeling good is good, but on this other sort of like the abyss of whatever stuff that absolutely terrifies me also comes in. So that's like, is it normal? And then the secondly is like, when this kind of comes up, I feel that I also get really scared that I'm going to be like sucked into a new whole of like things that feel so difficult that I feel overwhelmed and I don't feel like I can manage.
I really feel how much this is for you, like those like how intense some of these cycles are. Like, I really feel that. And, you know, everybody here on the call will have a different system, but I want you to know, like, every single time you bring a question and you express yourselves, I'm really feeling your system and how each person is navigating this journey. And yeah, it's really, really big. it is normal to have ups and downs, Nadia. And I would say, from what I know about your system and what I feel about your system, is it's really doing some heavy lifting. Like, your system is like working really hard. And it's so beautiful that you've had these moments of success, because I think they are the anchors that keep you, that help you to know that you are on your path. And so it may be really helpful for you to maybe even create like an evidence journal where you maybe write down like how things are shifting, you're keeping track of the progress that you're making. Because I think that will really be something that will be helpful for you to come back to in these darker times, to remind yourself that you are not going to get sucked into the abyss. You know, as the body starts to feel safe enough, it's going to, and as we talk about the energy wells in module 3, and you start with a small energy well and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger. As you build your capacity, your energy well gets bigger. And as your energy well gets bigger, then if you've got big stuff to process, more stuff is, you're going to have to work through bigger and bigger experiences to then get into the next energy well. And then it happens all over again. Just so fun. So I think this is really what is happening in your system. You're actually moving very quickly through energy wells. And as a consequence of that, you're also having to just, your body is like, I'm wanting to process this. But sometimes it is really big and it is really overwhelming. And if that's the case, you can take responsibility for applying the brakes. And how we do that is trying not to heal so hard all the time. That's when we really want to maybe orient more towards things that are joyful, things that are playful, things that are lighthearted, things that keep us more in our ventral vagal, which don't feel like healing. So if things are becoming overwhelming, I would say for your system specifically, it feels like it just needs a little bit more joy. Yeah, it just needs a little bit more, less trying so hard, because I feel how much you want this. And you're so disciplined, I know, with working through the course and thinking about things and asking questions. And I can tell how engaged you are. And that engagement is wonderful, but sometimes it also keeps you so in the healing that things do start to feel like a lot. And even with your body, I know you really go deep and you explore things, and it's very like, you know, granular in terms of, you know, the way that you experience yourself. And that kind of level of depth is beautiful and it's intense. And so just kind of keeping things a little bit more light and ventral vagal and joyful, and taking breaks and, you know, read fiction books, watch funny programs on TV, play with dogs, you know, all those things would be really supportive for you.
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. Yeah, I try really hard. It's really helpful. I try really hard with that too. I could just really also relate, Laura, to what you were saying. There's just so much time, especially when you're when I get sort of decline, and there's so much time being with this body, and like the thoughts, it's just there's a lot of food for unpositive thinking.
So with like what I would track, you know, when you have these lower, when you have these, let's call them adaptive contractions. So like when you maybe move into an energy well and then it opens up for more big things to be processed, things that you can track for is, you know, how long do you stay in those harder periods? Was it like weeks before and now it's days or a day? And do they feel even a little bit more manageable than what they were before? So whereas before they were like 100% overwhelming, now they're like 95% overwhelming or 90% overwhelming. So that's kind of what we're looking for as well. They, you know, if they're going to come, they're going to come. But do you notice that there's a shift in your system's ability to experience them? And so I would say, even if I reflect on my own journey and just the various things that have happened, I remember once like going to a craniosacral therapy session and then coming back and just going into like a collapse afterwards for several days. So it was very overwhelming. Whereas like now I can still go into these sort of funny places myself, even with the capacity that I have now, but it doesn't overwhelm my system so much. Or it can be very intense, but it will be like a very short period of time, you know, like an hour, and it can be bound out a bit. So I think it's not expecting that these things won't happen, but that just our capacity to manage them changes over time. There will always be cycles in life where things happen. And we feel like we need more space to process more, and it can feel quite heavy. And then there'll be periods which are easier. And we just got to meet ourselves where we are.
Thank you.
Did anybody else have a question? I'm still aware we have to circle back to Angela's question, but just anybody who hasn't asked a question yet have anything that they might like to ask? We'll let you go then, Angela.
I'm eating my breakfast. That's why I turned off my video. Done before the call. Yeah, my question, I'm not sure if it's a great one, but I was just curious if there is there's a nervous system explanation for why my symptoms get worse or increase when there's a change in the weather, which is happening right now for me.
Yeah, I don't have like an overly scientific one, but I've seen people talk about this online, like they can be like pressure changes and things like that, which impact the nervous system. But like, I'm not prepared for this question okay. today to give you like all the nitty gritty science, but let's validate that it's a thing. There's a term which has been coined, which I know it doesn't relate to now, but called the October slide, where people usually start to notice a decrease, an increase in symptoms around like the autumn, you know, October time. And that can be related to like changes and weather, maybe pressure changes, things like that. Usually there can be like also a decrease in light, but we're actually getting more light now than what we were before. So it's not that way this time, but yeah, I think it's just the shift, and when you're sensitive, a shift in the world around you. You know, your nervous system is always scanning and picking up on the cues of the environment. So it's just picking up on some sort of shift or change, which for a sensitive system may feel like something maybe to be a bit more hypervigilant about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think there's different things that affect my body. So I wasn't even sure, maybe this is more of a practical call question, but I notice it at the season change, and even within a season, like when there's fluctuations in air pressure, like a major change in air pressure, I'll notice that too. But at the season changes, it sets in for a while, and I can get some dark connecting in with Nadia and Laura, like just frustrated, like, oh, come on. Now I'm going to, I can feel significantly worse. And maybe I need to have an explanation, and the weather has changed. So I think that's why. I definitely think it's part of it. And it's on my negative side, I feel like it's like reminding me I'm not getting better, which is, you know, not true, but, yeah, I think I find season changes really hard, and I get eustachian tube dysfunction. So there is like some physical sort of thing, like my ear canals react to the pressure changes. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, just as the snow starts to melt, I think as soon as there's any melting, I think some of the mold, there's something called snow mold that grows under the snow.
I learned about snow mold from you.
Yeah. Some of the spores must release into the air as soon as there's some melting, and I just seem to be allergic to that. So I think there's just a bunch of things that then my nervous system is like, ooh, mold and pressure, and then just sends me kind of down for a while. And I guess
so. Yeah, ChatGPT gave me this really great analogy this week, which is it's like, you know, if you have a fire alarm in your house and there's a fire and the alarm goes off, but then you know, after the fire is gone, like the now the alarm is a little bit more like sensitive to things going on around it. Mm-hmm. So it's like once upon a time there was a fire and the alarm went off, but now in your case, the alarm system is just a little bit more hypervigilant. And that can change, and it will change. So not to say that you're going to be maybe completely free of fluctuations based on changes, but those you may find as your health improves and your nervous system becomes more resilient that you're less impacted and that, you know, the impact isn't as great or debilitating. It's what you're noticing it now. And I think it's, we can't do anything about the snow mold unless you want to relocate, you know. But we can work on helping you to become more resilient so that you're less sensitive to those fluctuations.
Thank you.
And also just one thing I was thinking about as well, this is also where evidence diary can be really helpful. Just like I suggested for Nadja, if you find yourself prone to, oh no, I'm not getting better, then those are the days where you can refer back to the diary and remind yourself, but look, this is where I was a year ago. This is where I am now. This is what happened last week. You know, really having those opportunities to support the belief systems. That being said, I would do something regulating first and then read your evidence diary, because if you pick up your evidence diary when your body is in a state of anxiety or hypervigilant, So you just want to make sure, do something to regulate first, then come to your evidence diary and remind yourself of how well you've done. Mara?
I just wanted to also join the discussion about up and down feeling. And that is also a thing that I only noticed when I quit working. That I would have, let's say, 2 days of feeling anxious, but not in my thoughts, but like in my body, like very tight chest or not being able sort of to breathe. And then the third day, there would be like a crazy depression coming in and I would like be super sad about being ill and Googling like if I can do, like how can I kill myself? And then the next day is kind of okay. And I was really scared when that happened to me, and I don't know if it was also something like before in my previous life when I was so busy with things and I never noticed that I was going through this, or is it something that appeared? And then each time it would happen, it would be lighter, and that was only like for half a day. Yeah, I was. Somehow I felt like that was aligned to what you mentioned, but I also feel that depression is followed by previous days' anxiety that also comes from nowhere. So the question is that something like that what you said about the ball and that suddenly you are able to process more. So I only started to have this happening to me when I left job. So I suddenly had these big feelings coming to me. Is that the explanation to this?
So it sounds like, I don't know because I'm not you, but it sounds like from what you've shared that because you were no longer having to direct your energy towards working, there was capacity perhaps in your system to process more, but it could also be that you actually were noticing more because you had the space to notice. But then to your comment about the depression following on from the anxiety, it can be that if the anxiety was escalating and then it became too much for your system, then you switched from sympathetic nervous system into the dorsal system as a coping mechanism. That's sort of how the nervous system works. It says, you know, there's nothing, if there's nothing we can do to take this away right now, what we'll do is protect you from feeling it by going more into a shutdown or, you know, disassociation or something like that. I'm assuming that this isn't really happening now so much anymore if it's less intense. So it sounds like at the time you didn't have the coping mechanisms to process some of the anxiety you were feeling, maybe also triggered by the change. Giving up work is a really big thing. And so then the anxiety escalated, you didn't have the tools to cope, and then it shifted more into that depressed state.
That's really good how you put it. Thank you.
I try. I can see it's got you thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really hard to quit job. And
absolutely. And I can imagine there may have been a younger part of you that was very, very afraid. And maybe that was where the anxiety was coming from.
Thank you.
And you'll maybe get to know her as you work through the course. Okay, so I don't want to just leave you without a little bit of settling, but if you do need to go, then obviously please go. But let's take a break from looking at our screens and we will orient around the room one last time. Just maybe wiggle the feet, move the ankles a little bit. You can always just rub onto the legs. Just come a bit more into your body. Remember that you have legs. Even if you want to, you can move the arms or the head, the neck. Just a little bit of gentle movement. And you can close your eyes or just rest them somewhere where it feels good to look. Maybe just think of something that you learned today, or doesn't even have to be learning, but just something that touched your system in the right way. The little moment or something that was said or discussed here that will maybe help you find a little bit more softness or gentleness or regulation in your system. And notice what happens as you connect with that. And think about how you may support yourself as you move into the next few weeks. We do have our practical call coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and I've set dates for March and April as well, so you can book in for those when you're ready. And thank you so much for being here. I love our conversations. I love seeing you all. It's a lovely way to connect. And I'll see you all next time. Have a good few weeks and a lovely evening or day, and see you soon. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode today. If you think that this is something that could benefit your recovery and maybe you just need a little bit more support and direction and a sense of community as you navigate your healthcare challenges, the Nurturing Resilience membership is an affordable monthly membership that provides specific training on specific aspects of recovery. For example, the nervous system, blood sugar management, pacing, sleep, managing inflammation in the body, and much, much more. And we also have these support calls, which allows you not only to be absorbing information, but you actually have somewhere to go to ask your questions, to get feedback, to join discussion. And I think it's really important that it's a space where we hold both aspects. We hold the mind-body aspect of healing and recovery, and we hold the practical elements of healing and recovery, which is quite unique. You often don't have spaces you can go. Maybe you go to a medical professional and they talk about the medical side, or you go to someone and you're doing mind-body work, but they dismiss the physical side. And so it's very unique to have a place where you can go where both are not only mentioned, but integrated. And you have somebody who's perhaps walked in your shoes, in other words, myself, who can guide you on your journey while holding space for both aspects of that healing journey. So if it's something that you'd be interested in joining and participating in, you can join straight away. You get access to everything straight away. You can cancel at any time if it's not for you. And the monthly fees at this moment in time are £39 per month plus VAT. So I'll have a link in the show notes to the membership. And if you would like to join us, you would be very welcome. And I will see you there.